Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Good morning, Trinity Church, and happy Easter. So friends, I have news. As my son and I, militantly COVID conscious, road tripped across this country during his spring break, we learned that America's number one shaded biblical mini golf course has permanently closed. I know, in this year of so much loss, it's difficult to accept. Yet, once located in Cave City, Kentucky, the Golgotha Bible Mini Golf and Fun Park, that's right, the Golgotha Bible Mini Golf and Fun Park has disappeared into the mists of Highway Americana. You will remember Golgotha, otherwise known as the Place of the Skull, from our Palm Sunday reading a week ago. Golgotha is that fun park roadside attraction where the Roman authorities hanged our Lord on the cross until he died. We also remember those sad events on Good Friday, a sentiment perhaps misunderstood by a group of Southern putt-putt enthusiasts and venture capitalists. In his travelogue, Roadside Religion, author Timothy K. Beale writes of this peculiar shrine, "Taking a sharp left turn between the central cross and the one for the thief to Jesus' left, putters finally meet the risen Lord standing at the end of a relatively long fairway atop the empty tomb. The stone is rolled away. Jesus is out, and in goes the ball." Yes, in goes the ball, and alleluia, Christ is risen. Lord, have mercy, the Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the gospel record, of course, we inherit a richer, more complicated, and nuanced story. When Jesus dies, a centurion guarding Golgotha mocks the Messiah, taunting onlookers with the exclamation, "Ha, truly this man was God's son." Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, they all watch this mid-afternoon scene from afar, ready to provide for Jesus in his death as they had served him in his life. And yet, as evening arrived, he still hangs there on the cross. Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the very council that had condemned Jesus, breaks ranks with his powerful peers and goes boldly to Pilate and asks for the body of Jesus. Pilate consents to this, what for him is a convenience, and Joseph lifts Jesus from the cross. Wrapping the dead man in a shroud, Joseph carries Jesus to a local cave and lays him there, rolling a rock across the tomb's entrance. The loyal women, perhaps suspicious of Joseph's motives, follow this man of privilege to see what he will do so that they will know where he laid Jesus. And then in the early morning, 3 days later, they return to this burial site to anoint the body of their dead friend. Along the way, they understandably worry how they will enter the tomb, asking one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us?" And yet when they arrive, they see that the stone, which was very large, has already been rolled back. Cautiously, they enter the dark room and encounter a young man dressed in a white robe. Sensing their fear, this herald offers reassurance. "Do not be alarmed," he says. "Do not be alarmed," he says. "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." The gospel then reports, "So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." In the Greek, the order of these last words leaves the ending even more abrupt, reading something like, "To no one anything they said, afraid they were for." I find this ragged edge powerfully compelling, honest, and absolutely believable. These loyal souls, thinned by physical exhaustion, by spirit-splitting grief, running away with fraught joy, fear, and confusion, all roiling in their tender hearts. The original gospel ends unsatisfyingly resolutionless, a narrative strategy that effectively grafts us readers into the drama, asks us to write that next chapter in the Jesus story. And so we do, smoothing, editing all the passion's rough edges until the world's salvation fits neatly into 18 holes in a go-kart track. Now, before we settle too comfortably into our well-worn seats of refined Anglicanism and smug regionalism, realize that when one peers over the fence into our Episcopal theme park, we are no more secure from an outsider's confusion and critique. In the best of times, we dress in 7th century English winter wear and declare small paper discs the body of Christ. Devotions and claims that to an extraterrestrial landed here from some distant star would surely make no more sense than knocking colored balls across an astroturfed empty tomb. And far worse yet, we Episcopalians too often hedge our Easter, afraid we will look like fools or be mistaken for dullards. We plane the passion of all its joy, sanding with self-conscious skepticism and trimming our faith in the name of Thurston Hall III's erudition. We gotta tuck that ascot just right. We decline all its mystery and magic, all the righteous power of Jesus' resurrection. We build our churches into communities of commiseration, where we come together to traffic and share dread, to license one another's malaise and malevolence. Even on Easter morning, we arrive expecting death, consumed in our worry that that big rock will keep us out. And we dare not trust in the Spirit's movement. Hiding from the sun like vampires, we halt our procession at Golgotha rather than continuing to the empty tomb, much less rousing one another for a wild, raucous morning sprint to meet the risen Jesus in Galilee. Expecting death and conspiring to create it, we assail the hopeful, decry their faith as too simple, too optimistic, crossing our arms, stomping our feet, turning up our noses, we announce obstreperously, there is just too much misery in this world for me to believe in a fairy tale Easter. Well, dadgummit, people of God, alleluia! Alleluia, Christ is risen. This pandemic be damned, the Lord is risen indeed, hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, Trinitarians, we do not blithely ignore or refuse to acknowledge the suffering of this human experience. As surely as Jesus wept, we grieve. As devotedly as Jesus worked for justice, so do we labor. But dear friends, though we and the world suffer on Easter, we declare that God gives us life. Alleluia! To the violence in our streets today, we cry, hallelujah! To the racism in the halls of our government today, we cry, hallelujah! To the inequities and the unfairnesses of our history and our present today, we cry, hallelujah! To the despair and the death that has shrouded us for more than a year, today we make our song crying, hallelujah! 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 See, as the risen Jesus meets the Marys and Salome in the midst of their terror and amazement, when they had been silenced for their fear, so too the living Christ meets us wherever and whenever We are afraid or grieving, struggling. Whether we are teenaged or middle-aged, every age, the herald points us to the fulfilled hopes of Jesus' resurrection. Now, I do not suggest that we at Trinity Church take the darkest day in the history of the cosmos and memorialize it with a putt-putt course in the Undercroft. Of course not. Yet this very morning, we dignified Episcopalians have planted a wooden cross wrapped in chicken wire set in a Christmas tree stand on the west porch facing Copley Square. And in addition to the cut flowers that we have available there, we have invited members of the parish to thread the greenery they planted way back on Ash Wednesday. Therefore, among the lilies, I anticipate both leaves of lettuce and sprigs of dill, as well as the first shoots of jalapeno peppers from one faithful soul's garden window. To repeat, just over there, across in a Christmas tree stand, flowered with lettuce leaves grown during a Boston winter. One more sign of surprise and hope during these strangest of days. Taking what has been cast down and raising it up, making us new in the image of the risen Jesus, calling us, calling all to dare joy once more, to celebrate this Easter morning. For friends, alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.